tell you what, if that doesn't fire you up, your wood's wet. Man, that is so good. I love that. Man, feel like preaching. Oh, that's what I'm doing. Good. 1 Corinthians 15, the whole passage talks about the resurrection. Of course, we have tucked away there in the first four verses, we have the gospel. And gospel means good news. Amen. And boy, don't miss that. This is good news. This is all good news. There's a lot of bad news. Amen. If you read the newspaper, there's all kinds of bad news. There's all kinds of bad things that go on in our lives, and surgeries and hospital visits and doctors telling us things we don't like you need to lose weight and stuff that we just hate to hear. But boy, this is good news. Amen. And the gospel, of course, that he was buried, that he rose again. I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to Scriptures. There's the gospel. That's good news. It's such good news. And I want to talk to you about six times in 1 Corinthians 15, we have the word vain, V-A-I-N. And six times, it just jumps out at me, and that word is used. Verse 2, verse 10, verse 14, it's used twice, verse 17, and verse 58, the word vain, V-A-I-N. And I want to talk to you this morning about it's not in vain. It is not in vain. I'm going to do all I can to convince you today. It's not in vain. What we do, we opened the doors today. We turned on the lights. We finally turned on the air conditioning, or it turned on. We started buses up this morning. And, you know, those old diesel buses, they've gone through a tough, tough winter. Amen. But we had folks that were on those buses and went out and picked people up. We have people over in the gym right now with our Shepherd's Ministry, and they're preaching away and working with folks. We have junior churches going on, and Brother Fisher is waxing eloquent and with first through third graders, and Brother Binder is he's preaching the word to the fourth through sixth. Are you listening? And it's not in vain. It is not in vain. What we do is not in vain. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Father, bless the preaching. We thank you so much for the Word of God. Without it, we'd have nothing to preach. We'd have nothing to say. We'd have no reason to open the doors. We'd have no reason to build a building. We'd have no reason to fix a roof. We'd have no reason to buy land, ever. But Lord, you gave us your Word, and you told us about Jesus, and you told us that he died, and he was buried, and he rose again. And so what we do today is not in vain. Help us to take it seriously and listen carefully. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Again, the word vain, six times. Notice verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Verse 10, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Notice verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also is also vain. Notice verse 17, it says, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. And then the last verse, verse 58, the Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so six times this word is used. It's not a word we use a lot. The word vain simply means vanity, or it comes from vanity, and it means empty. It means empty. It means unprofitable. It means worthless. It's a waste, in other words. And so as you look at each verse, verse 2, he's saying here very, very clearly that he says, unless ye have believed in vain. In other words, he's saying your belief is empty. It's a waste. Oh, I don't like that. I mean, I have a lot of things I believe in. I'd hate to think that anything I believe in is a waste. I'd hate to think as I get out my Bible every morning and I start reading it, that's just a waste. Oh, you hear people talk, you people are wasting your time. Your neighbors thought you were as you got up this morning, and you put on your, I don't know if we have any Easter bonnets or not, but, you got all ready and everything, and I guarantee somebody saw you, and they thought, boy, that's a waste. Well, he says here, he said, well, it would be, but he said it's, I'll get into that in the preaching. Then verse 10, it's very personal to the Apostle Paul. And it's very personal to me, too. By the way, I don't want to do anything in vain. I don't want to waste anything. I don't want to, the older you get, time starts becoming kind of precious, doesn't it? It really, you say, I got some things I want to do. Yeah, and I'm running out of time. I don't want to do anything in vain. Well, Paul says this, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Boy, that's a good thing. Isn't that a good thing to say? I don't know what anybody else thinks, but I am what I am. And it's by the grace of God. And he says this, his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. You know what? He says God saving me wasn't in vain. It wasn't just something that was empty. It wasn't a waste. It was, when Jesus died on the cross, that wasn't a waste. By the way, you ought to think of your life that way, dear Christian. Don't let it be a waste. Paul said, I am what I am. Verse 14, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain? Huh? There's so many things that we think about, and the Apostle Paul wants us to get a hold of the fact that, hey, it's not in vain. Paul said, I'm saved today, and by the grace of God, I am what I am. I once persecuted God's people. I once saw God's people killed, and I gave the orders for them to be killed. And he said, I was a wicked man, a vile man, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. His life was changed. Amen. Has your life been changed? Has your life been changed? But you see, here's this whole argument. Here's this whole point. If Christ has not risen, it is in vain. It's all in vain. You understand the Apostle Paul, he gave his life after he got saved. God changed his name from Saul to Paul. And then just to show it is a new life. And then he gave that life to the Lord and went out and preached the Word of God all across the land and helped establish churches. And he says this, he said, hey, I think I did something with my life. I am what I am by the grace of God. But he said, if Christ is not risen, if somehow his body is still in that tomb, it's all in vain. It's empty. It's a waste. It's all in vain. But since he is, that's what it's all about. Since he rose, by the way, the Apostle Paul doesn't just say, okay, this is what I believe and you've just got to go along with it. You know what he does? He says, I've got proof. And he gives us the proof right in the beginning. He says, everything I've done, if Christ is not risen, it's all in vain. We would sit here today, honestly. If Christ hasn't risen, everything we did, we started the buses today, that was all in vain. All the soul winning yesterday, that's all in vain. The bus routes, you went on your bus route, spent hours knocking on doors, that was all in vain. Shepherd's ministry, puppets, jail ministry, all that we, it's all in vain. Brother Paul, the choir practice, all that practice, it was all in vain. But then he says, but you know what? Christ rose. Up from the grave, he arose. And since he's risen, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. And he proves it just like a preacher ought to do. Let's prove that. He said in verse 3, he said, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He said, Scriptures tell us. They tell us that he died. They tell us that he rose again and that he would rise again. The Scriptures say it. Verse 4, he was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He said, the Word of God tells us that he died. He was buried. He rose again. But that's not all. He said, verse 5, he said, he was seen of Cephas. Cephas is a witness. And then he said, and then of the 12... there's witnesses. Then he says in verse 6, and I love this, after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. 500 people, over 500 people saw him after he hung on a cross, after a soldier pierced his side with a spear, after he gave up the ghost willingly, after his dead body was taken down from the cross and wrapped up and in all the spices and put in that tomb, these people saw him. They're witnesses. He rose from the grave. He said over 500 saw him. And then he goes on and he keeps proving it. Verse 7, after that he was seen of James. And then of the apostles. And I love what he says. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Now, folks, honestly, these people are witnesses. And you have to understand that most of them died for what they believed. If it was all fake, if it was all a lie, would they have died for that? I don't think so. You know how they so willingly, Peter, who saw him, Peter was crucified. The history tells us Peter was crucified upside down because he said he was not worthy to die as Jesus died. Would you do that if it was all based on a lie? Of course not. And so Paul says, all of this is proof. I have proof that it is not in vain. Since he rose from the grave, start your buses on Sunday morning. Since he rose from the grave, have your master clubs on Wednesday night. Since he rose from the grave, go visit and preach in the jails and the prisons. Since he rose, keep the bus ministry going. Keep going soul winning. Since he rose, preach the word. Since he rose from the grave, have the shepherd's ministry and tell them the gospel of Jesus. Since he rose, keep the junior church going and Sunday school classes and vacation Bible school and the fair ministry and our master clubs. Hey, since he rose, rejoice today if you're saved. Because it's not in vain. It's not in vain. Your service, your times, even here at a kind of a makeshift altar down here in the fellowship hall, which the altar's been full ever since we come down here. Every invitation, there's people here at the altar. And decisions you made, they're not in vain. Those times in a conference, teenager, or when you were a teenager, time at a camp, time in Bible college, times you poured out your heart to God at an altar like this one. Maybe it was at a revival meeting and you poured out your heart to God. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. Why? Because he rose from the grave. Sometimes you think, well, you know, it just seems like I'm not getting anywhere. But I got news for you. If you're saved and you're doing what God wants you to do, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. Hey, listen, there's life after death. It's not in vain. What you do today is not in vain. And so five things this passage tells us since it's not in vain. Number one, preaching is powerful. Since it's not in vain, preaching is powerful. Verse 14, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, empty, a waste. And it would be if he didn't rise from the dead. But since he did, since he rose from the grave, preaching is powerful. Because what we get to preach. Because we're talking about something that nobody else can talk about. We're preaching something that no other religion has. Let's see, Confucius, he died. Buddha, I don't know if Buddha ever lived. Muhammad died. Joseph Smith died, and the list goes on and on and on and on, doesn't it? But Jesus died and was buried and rose again. There's something to preach. We can preach. By the way, it's sad. So many today are eliminating preaching when preaching is powerful because he lives. If he didn't rise, I could understand that there'd be no reason to preach. There'd be no reason to gather. There'd be no reason for us to assemble as a church. but he lives. And we have a message. And we have a message that there's none like it. And we should shout and we should be excited because he lives today. I love that choir song. Thank you so much, Paul. Paul had a vision when we came down here and we started talking about all that. And Paul said he would take the choir and he would work with the choir. And he had a vision that on Easter Sunday we would sing. And we thought we'd be upstairs. Somebody suggested we need to have another sign-up sheet for what day we're going to have our first service upstairs, kind of like we did with the snow melting. But and I told him I can't afford that many meals. But how exciting it is that he lives. How exciting to sing, he lives, he's risen, he's not dead, he's alive, and we can preach that. And somebody said, Pastor, you seem really excited today. I knew what I was preaching on. Why? Because he lives. It's not in vain. This time is not in vain. This moment that we take called preaching time, it's not in vain. Preaching is powerful, but only if he rose. If he doesn't rise, then it's nothing. The Bible says, in fact, it says it's vain, it's empty. But he did. He rose from the grave. And wow, you know, this is if he rose from the dead, do you understand? Then we can live. Tell your face to smile. That means as you go pick out your casket, that's not home. You don't need a drawer. You ever see casket with drawer? It has a drawer in it. You can put little things in there, and that's kind of, you don't need it. It's not home. You know, I see people put all kinds of things in there, and I understand, I know, but it's not home. Home. Home is way, way above this. Amen. It's above the new roof. I mean, home. Only because he rose. That's why, you know, you say, oh, the, you know, here comes Peter Cotton. Fooey on him. I told him in Sunday school, you find that rabbit that lays eggs, I'll be your agent, I'll represent you, and we'll pave the parking lot. But I'm just saying, you know what? Hey, you know what it's about? It's about Jesus rose from the grave, and preaching is powerful. And if he rose from the grave, that means that I can have a new life. That means when Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again, it's exactly what he meant. He meant you've got to be born again. You've got to be a new creature. Man, that's exciting to me, to be able to be a new creature. You know, Muhammad, he died. Confucius died. Jim Jones died. Joseph Smith died. All of them are dead. Not Jesus. Jesus lives. Jesus lives. He lives. Praise God. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he's living no matter what anybody says. That didn't rhyme because that's not how the song goes. But you know what? If he can raise the dead, think about it today. If he can raise the dead, how many dead raisings have you seen lately? Anybody? YouTube? They got any of that out there? Don't look right now. Okay, we got preaching going on. But is there anything on YouTube about somebody rising from? I haven't seen any dead raisings in a while. Tim, you seen anything like that? You know computer stuff. I don't know. Anybody seen, Brother Bob, you seen any dead raisings lately? Yesterday, maybe during, some kind of festival somewhere or something? Did they raise any dead? No, I haven't seen any dead raisings. It's really, you know, hey, listen, if he rose from the dead, amen, if he did that, doesn't that mean he can pretty much do anything? He can do anything. I'm not talking about something. I mean anything. If he can raise from the dead, it seems to me like he can do anything. That means whatever your problem today, he can fix it. I mean, it is our God. As the Apostle Paul said, I am what I am. He knew what he was, and he knew what he became because God changed his life. But if he rose from, can't he fix anything? He fixed our roof. Amen. I'm just saying, if he rose from the dead, can't if he rose from the dead, can't he raise the dead? Yeah. Amen. And that's why don't get comfortable in your casket. You know, my wife and we've been talking about we years ago we bought some plots off somebody, and we got to go pick them out, And that's always exciting, you know, when you go and you say, we own some plots. And they say, are you sure about that? And anyway, but you know, and then you're supposed to pick all this stuff out. I don't want anything real comfortable. You know? Now Brenda, she's excited. She wants to, you know, be located by an evergreen tree. All right? And I said, really? Is that so you can look at it? But she's thinking about, you know, folks coming by and you know, visiting. And I always think, if they won't visit you when you're alive, why in the world would they visit you when you're dead? But we do. We do that. It's amazing how people do that. You know, you never brought anybody flowers when they were alive, but when they're dead, you bring flowers every year. Anyway, it's another subject. But I'm just saying, if he could rise from the dead, that means he can raise the dead. Oh, man, that's so exciting. So exciting. That means if he rose from the grave, he can come again. Right? That's what I'm looking for. Today'd be a good day. Be a good day. It's supposed to be in the 70s, which is what I think heaven is. About 72, 73, right around there. It just kind of stays there. I don't know. Will we live in bubbles? I don't know. You know, because some people like it cooler than that. Some people like it hotter than that. But I like about 72. Yeah, some of you are getting excited now thinking about that. Yeah, 85. Who likes it above 80? Yeah, you just, I don't know. Anyway, wow. Listen, he can, if he rose from the grave, he can come again. Hey, you know what? If he didn't rise from, I wouldn't know how to preach a funeral. I wouldn't know what to say. Now you're supposed to encourage. How do you encourage anybody if he didn't rise from the dead? I don't know if you've ever been to an unsaved person's funeral. You know, what's there to say?
He was a good man.
You know what? It's so refreshing, Brother Dan, that when I preach a funeral, and I preach Al Morin's funeral, and I talked about how he is in heaven with Jesus, and his arm is perfect, and his legs are perfect. Here's a man that had polio for much of his life, and today he's running up and down the streets of gold, but that's only because Jesus rose from the grave. That's only because of what we celebrate today. Tell your face to smile. Tell your lungs to shout. Get excited about the fact Jesus Christ did not stay in the grave. He came up from the grave. He arose, and if he can raise the dead, he can do anything. You understand the early church, that's what it's all about. The book of Acts, read it sometime, that's what it was. Somebody said, what got those people so excited? How many times does it say there was no small stir? Talking about God's people. I mean, sometimes it's hard to get God's people to stir from anything. But in that day, there was no small stir. They were excited. They're fired up. You know why? Because up from the grave, he arose. You couldn't scare them with death. You couldn't cause them to fear death because they saw life. Hey, I wish you'd see life today. I wish you'd see life in Jesus who came out of that grave. This is why I can preach it. And you understand as you read the book of Acts, the people were excited, not because of all the fun they were having. We're in a fun day today. Oh, we got to have fun. Church, you have to have fun. If you don't have fun, people aren't interested. You know what I think people are interested? They're interested in life. And I'm telling you, in the book of Acts, it wasn't because of all the fun they were having. It wasn't all the activities. It wasn't all the entertainment. You know what it was? It was preaching about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because anytime somebody got down, anytime somebody got discouraged, anytime somebody thought that the end was near, somebody would say, hey, but Jesus rose from the grave, and it's not over when you die. Preaching is powerful. It's not in vain. It's not in vain because, number two, faith is a fact. Faith is a fact. You'll notice verse 14, it says, your faith is also vain. When, if Christ be not risen? Your faith, it's empty. It's a waste. What in the world are you doing in church? Why'd you go to church? Are you nuts? What is wrong with you? It's going to be 70-some degrees. What are you doing in church? All dressed up, got your tie on. We all pretty much hate ties. Kind of. I mean, there are some people that like them for, you know, they get used in the right way. But But the fact is, you know what? We do all this, and honestly, if he doesn't raise from the dead, I'm not going to do it. You know what? I'm going to sleep in. Yeah, praise God. But here's the truth, though. He did. He did rise from the dead. Again, verse 17, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Says it two times. Two times. Wait a minute. Paul said, my life's been changed. I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I was Saul against God. I'm Paul for God. And God did that. He made me a new creature. He made me a new person. He gave me eternal life. He gave me abundant life. He said, woohoo, I'm excited. But he said, if Christ didn't rise, my faith is a waste. My belief is empty. There's no substance. You know what's sad? It's sad so many Christians live that way, as if Jesus didn't rise. Hello? Right? So many Christians live as if Jesus never rose from the grave. And it's why they change. It's why, you know, they get pulled this way and that way and blown this way and that way. Because it's like, well, it's really all in vain, is it? Was that decision that you made at camp, was that all in vain? Was that decision you made at this altar or upstairs in the auditorium at the altar, was that in vain? Was it God's call in your life? Was that in vain? Was it just all empty? Or did Jesus really rise from the grave? Oh, I say to you today, it's not in vain. It's not in vain because Jesus rose from the grave. Live as if he rose from the grave. You know, up from the grave he arose, and if not, we couldn't even trust this book because it's all over this book. It's all in this book. We call this the Bible, the Word of God. Wow. How many times has Andrew read through this year? He's read through 1.5 times this year. Is that right? Something like that. He tells me. He keeps me updated. What's he, 5th grade? Yeah. You know what I'd have to tell him? If Jesus hadn't risen, I'd have to say, hey, you're wasting your time. You ought to read Dr. Seuss. You know? You're wasting your time. You ought to be reading some romance novels or something, because if Christ has not risen from the grave, why in the world would we read this? Oh, but he has risen. Yeah, that's why I read. This is the Word of God. This is the one who rose from the grave. You ever think about that as you get your Bible out instead of, oh, brother, here we go, I'm going to read the Bible again. Oh, pastor wants us to turn in the Bible, turn in the Bible, turn in the Bible, verse after verse after verse. But have you ever thought, I get to turn in the Bible. This was written by one who conquered death. Amen. Amen. Boy, it's good stuff. You know, if he didn't, you wouldn't trust it, would you? And you'd probably keep writing new ones. Oh. But he did, and it's the truth. If not, I couldn't believe any of his promises. Oh, I need his promises. I love his promises. You talk about a year of just grabbing hold of God's promises. Over and over and over, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, God, you said, God, you promised, God, you said you would. You said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Sometimes it gets dark around us, doesn't it? Sometimes it seems hopeless. Sometimes it seems impossible. And yet, he promised, I'll never leave thee. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. I can claim every promise. Somebody says, well, where's your proof? Look real quick, Hebrews 11, verse 1. And then I'm going to move real, real fast on these last points. Hebrews 11, verse 1. I do want you to make sure you get a good meal today. My heart goes out to everyone. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, faith is a fact. Faith is a fact. Preaching's powerful. Faith is a fact. Faith is a fact. You say, what do you mean? Faith is a substance. It's real. It's there. It's not I hope so. No. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence. That's the proof of things not seen. Somebody says to me, well, where's your proof? I'll tell you where my proof is. I know. That's your proof? Yeah, I know, because he lives. Everything's possible with God. Everything is in the realm of substance. It's real. It's possible. I know what he did. He made me a new creature. He changed my life. I'm not the same. I'm not the same person. Saul became Paul. Just so that we could see he was a new man, a new creature. Faith is fact. People say, you Christians, you really believe that, don't you? I know Christianity. It's so many people today. It's like, well, you know, we're so quiet. And if we really believed he rose from the grave, why would we be quiet? Why wouldn't we tell people? And when people say Happy Easter, you know, Happy Resurrection. Really? What are you talking about? Oh, Christ rose. Do you understand most kids? Shirley was talking about the bus kids, several of our bus kids, and they grow up in homes where the parents, they've never gone to church. And you ask them, what's Easter all about? And you know what they say? Easter bunny. Now, I'm not saying go shoot the bunny. I'm just saying, hey, you know what? Unless you like rabbit. But if he really lays eggs, do not shoot him. Okay, we'll call Time Magazine and we'll pave the parking lot. But look, faith is a fact. It's not. Well, I hope so. It's I know so. For the Christian who recognizes that Christ rose from the grave, faith, everything, people, well, you must really be trusting. Oh, I am. Oh, I am, because he can. He can do anything. And I know he hears me when I talk to him. I know he answers me. I know he loves me. And I know he cares for me. And I know he provides for me. And if bad happens, I know that's best for me. And faith is a fact for me. It's not in vain, folks. It's real because he lives. It's not in vain. Satan would love you to think today that it's all in vain. Sunday school teacher, he'd love you to think your Sunday school class, that's in vain. Those kids don't care. They're not listening. He'd love you to think, bus worker, it's all in vain. Oh, that kid, they're not paying attention. He wants us to think it's all in vain. But it's not in vain because Christ rose from the grave. He can change any life. You're here today and your life is a mess. I got news for you. It's not in vain. What I'm saying is true. He will save you. He will keep you. He will change your life if you'll let him. If you'll let him. It's not in vain. Number three, our salvation is secure. Number one, preaching's powerful. Faith is fact. Number three, salvation is secure. It says in verse 17, it says, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. You're yet in your sins. Hey, you know what? If he doesn't rise from the dead, I'm accountable for all my sins. Oh, yeah, that's very, very important. Bible says in chapter 15, verse 3, Christ died for our sins. He died for our sins, but it also says that he was buried. He rose again the third day. Yeah, you're yet in your sins. By the way, I am yet in my sins only if he is yet in the tomb. And since he's not, I'm not. You are yet in your sins if he's yet in the tomb. But if he's not, you're not. Not if you're saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What's that? That's to be no longer in my sins. That's to no longer stand before God sinful. Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all my sins. Because he rose. Amen. Amen. Look at Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. It's so good. I just hate to skip stuff. Romans chapter 4. Here's the way Abraham looked at it. Romans, or it's about Abraham. Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You see that? It gives glory to God when we're strong in faith and being fully persuaded. Notice that, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You ever wonder, can God really do this? Yeah, you would wonder it, except up from the grave he arose. That makes everything in his realm. Amen. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. There it is. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. What's that? Not guilty. Justification. Not guilty. Wait a minute, I know me. I'm guilty. Oh, no. In Christ, you're not guilty. Why? Because he raised from the dead. And so chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, because he rose. And when he rose, he took the blood that was spilt, and he took it to heaven and sprinkled it on the mercy seat in heaven. And it is the covering. And when the Father looks at me, he doesn't see my sin. He sees the blood of his Son. Since he arose, he's also my defense attorney. The Bible says he's my advocate. And you know what he says? He says he's not. He says about me, he's not guilty. He's not. Oh, preacher, are you guilty? Oh, man, have I sinned? Have you sinned? Have we all sinned? But he says, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. It's not in vain. Our salvation is secure. It's secure. Number 4, death is defeated. Death is defeated. Verse 18, back to chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. Verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. What? If Christ be not raised. They which are fallen asleep, those that are dead in Christ, they're perished. But he conquered death. You'll notice in verse 26, it says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The last enemy. You know, death, that's our enemy. We fight and fight and fight against that enemy. We take herbs. Amen. We take pills. We go see the doctor. You know, because, oh, well, I don't want to die. We take all these drugs. We'll take a prescription. You can't even read it. You have no idea what it is. And you'll go to the pharmacist and you'll say, here, you don't even look at it. You don't even look at who signed it. We all do it. And we give it to him. And this pharmacist, I mean, who knows who he is? And who knows what he's thinking? And who knows, maybe he's thinking, ha, 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 ha. You know, and he's going to go get whatever that thing is. And I don't even know how he reads it. And they go get all that stuff together and they give it and then we throw them in there. Why? Because our enemy, death, we're fighting it. We're doing all we can. We're fighting it. And safety, we're fastening our seatbelts. You better be. And we're doing everything we can. We've got guns. We got guns in the corners. We got guns in the closet. We have guns everywhere. And like Barney, we have one bullet. Amen. We're doing everything. We're fighting death. That's because that's our enemy. But you know what the Bible says? The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, because death is defeated. Why? Because Jesus rose from the grave. Praise the Lord. And so the Bible says in verse 54, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. What's it saying? It's saying when this old body is going to rot. Amen. Just going to rot. But I live in a new body, a sinless body. A body like Jesus. The Bible talks about the disciples all being gathered together and the door shut and Jesus walks in with the door shut. That kind of a body. Don't understand all that. Don't know how something doesn't run into the wall and get left behind, but it all goes in. Glory to God. And it says, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. And it's defeated if he rose from the grave. I'm telling you, it's not in vain today. It's not in vain. You don't have to fear death. I know the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but it also says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus looked over at another, there were two thieves, two other men hanging on crosses the day Jesus was crucified, and he was in the middle, and he looked over at one, and he said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Today. What's that mean? That means death wasn't going to get a hold of him. Oh, that fella, he knew he was going to die. He knew there that he would take his last breath hanging on a cross. Jesus said, today, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Huh? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. If you're saved, you don't need to fear death because Jesus rose and conquered death. Mm, so good. Verse 18, you know, it says, well, you know, if he didn't, then they which are fallen asleep in Christ, they're perished. But not if they're in Christ. In Christ, death can't hold you. In Christ, it won't hold you. It's not possible. And we'll go to heaven. Jesus said that where I am, there ye may be also. Glory to God. And so preaching is powerful. Faith is a fact. Salvation is secure. Death is defeated. And the last thing, number five, future is fruitful. Future is fruitful. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I'll tell you what, I'm having a good time in life. I am. I do. I have a good time. Doesn't mean there's not bad things. Somebody, you know, you may think, Pastor, he did just nothing bad ever. Oh, bad things do happen, I guess what you call them, but I'm having a good time. But Paul, and I think Paul was having a good time too, but you know what? He said, if this is it, blah. That's in the Greek. You know, all these folks that say, this is it, no wonder they're mopey. You know, seriously. That's what Paul's saying here. He's saying, you know, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, that's it. We just have a hope. We are of all men most miserable. But since he rose from the grave, we have more than hope. We have a promise. And that's why he says, verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Amen. And become the first fruits of them that slept. But now, since he has risen from the dead, the future is fruitful. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. In verse 58, he talks about our labor. And it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work. It sounds like he wants us to do something. What do you think? Sounds that way. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. Go start the bus. Not yet. Go to Master Clubs on Wednesday. Work with the puppet ministry. Get into prisons and preach. Go to the jails and preach. Go to the hospitals and preach. Go soul winning. Hey, it's not in vain. It is fruitful for the Christian to serve God. Because God has wonderful, wonderful, wonderful plans for our future. We have a purpose in life because Christ rose from the dead. Amen. You have a purpose as a Christian today. God has something for you to do because Jesus rose from the dead. A purpose into eternity. Fruit that abounds. Someone said this, outlook determines outcome. Amen, that's so true. I'll tell you what, A lot of Christians, I get the feeling you really don't believe he rose from the dead. I got the feeling you got this idea he had a drawer in his casket. Amen. And he's planning to stay in the tomb a long, long time. I got the feeling a lot of Christians, you know, it's like, well, I just don't. Listen to me. Because he lives, your future can be fruitful. And if your outlook is woe is me and it's blah, then that's what you're going to get. But if your outlook is, I've got eternity to look forward to. I need to get busy for eternity. Somebody says, you're always so positive. That's because it only gets better. It just is always, every day that happens, it's better the next. It just keeps getting better. How do you know? I know because up from the grave he arose. Amen. That's how I know. Up from the grave he arose, and we will too if we're saved. Folks, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. Praise God we turned the lights on this morning. Praise God we opened the doors. Praise God the buses ran. Praise God the shepherd's ministry's going on. Praise the Lord we have 4 and 5 year olds hearing the Bible from the Dixons. Praise God we have a Bible being preached and taught over across the parking lot. Praise the Lord you came. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. Why? Because he rose from the grave. Let's bow our heads, please.